This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up and welcome back to a very special Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Tim, you ever look online and you see a game get a really good review and you're like, ah, damn, now I got to play this game?
Yeah.
And Pentiment got a 10 from IGN today. And now I'm like, really? I got to play Pentiment. Yeah. Getting incredible reviews out there.
Pentiment, killing the game, everybody. Go check out those reviews. Are you surprised, Big Daddy? Greg Miller.
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah, we've seen Pentiment, you know, get announced and come out and be like, oh, is this really what people want from this developer? And then it's kind of got a good art style. It's kind of got a thing. I'm like, all right, well, and like, I'm with Bless now. I'm like, God damn it. Now I got to fucking make time for this game too.
Yeah.
And it's 15 to 20 hours, which, you know, if it was like five, I'd be like, hell yeah. Let's jump <in.">
We're running out of hours this year. Isn't that right? Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Great morning, everybody. I'm so excited for this.
Great morning.
I'm putting out a tweet and accidentally... I actually typed in bonermonger.com.
Do it. It still works. we paid for that one. Oh, that goes to you. That goes to you.
Remember, you too can go to bonermonger.com. But for everybody else that doesn't want to do that, you can stay right here because each and every week we get together to talk about video games, all the things we love about them, because this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. You could watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or right now, a very special event, you could watch live on Twitch, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're doing the Game Awards nominee. We're going to talk about all of the reveals of the nominees and then predict who we all think is going to win each and every category. Maybe not every category, because there's some categories where, like, we'll
you don't
talk
know who the best esports player is?
That's the thing. We'll see if we do, but we're going to have a fun.
It's IDOM. It's IDOM.
Nitro Rifle
could win.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Nitro Rifle.
Might run around.
Thank you. There's a lot of good stuff about that, dude.
Of course. But this is a rare thing that we're doing the Gamescast live. We're doing it live right now on YouTube and Twitch. But normally, if you wanted to watch Gamescast live, you would have to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like some of our beautiful Patreon producers: Morgan Lorraine, Fargo Brady, Hillary Bernard, ID Raven, Immersion Fragrances, Delaney Twining, Christopher Rodriguez, The Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan, Carrie Palmer, Elliot, Brian Cheney, Elliot, Trevor Starkey, Super Daddy Kyle, Undertopian, David Mintel, Eric Velasquez. Scotty Wyatt, Alex Gritel.
You said it right the first time. Velasquez.
See, now I'm realizing there's a mistake where there's the Kind of Funny side and the Kind of Funny game side. One side has pronunciation, one side doesn't. Velasquez, everybody. David Vitale, Scotty Wyatt, Alex Gradle, Al Tribesman, Jason L., James Davis Makes, nanobiologist, Ryan T. from Tennessee, Derek Garrick, Donald Eccles, Christopher Rodriguez, and Tall Tree 81. Oh, and Joseph A. Carlson. Thank you all so very, very much. Because of that, you won't have to listen to our ads later, which include Policy Genius, Shopify, and Rocket Money. But for everybody else, we're going to hang out and have a good time together with that. But speaking of some housekeeping real quick, I want to say that all of our Game Awards coverage is brought to you by Amazon. You can go to amazon.com/gameawards to discover and shop all the nominees of the Game Awards in one place. So once we go through all these, if there's ones you missed out on, head over to amazon.com/gameawards and get what you haven't got yet this year. So many fun things. Maybe Pentiment now, you know?
Oh.
Who knows?
I feel like I'm far away from Greg. I don't know if anybody else feels this.
Right there, though.
It's right
like
there.
Yeah, I didn't have time to really set the chairs the way I wanted to, so you guys are just really far away.
You're always close to my heart, Blessing.
Yeah, you too. Yeah.
And I P.S. I love you, XOXO, each and every Friday, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast service around the globe.
I'm looking for the one GIF that I just can't find. I'm surprised nobody gifted out of, and this is, by the way, a clip that I went had to go back and rewatch, of Jeff Keighley being like,
Batman is dead.
Here's a long-awaited game. It is finally time. And it was Elden Ring. Oh, my God. That's one of the best moments of my life. That's really sad.
Yeah. Really sad. Oh, yeah. You'll find it. You'll find it eventually. It's out there, right? And maybe you get another moment like
yourself.
That. Maybe that game gets awards today. And do you think they're going to nominate Elden Ring for Game of the Year, or do you think it's going to get snubbed?
I think it gets snubbed, yeah.
Yeah, every category. Not a chance.
It might get nominated in Adventure Game. We'll see.
So right now, the nominees are going to drop. It seems like Jeff Keighley is doing the announcement video on his site. So once he starts doing that, we're going to kind of like delayed go through category by category.
Yeah, we want to go category by category as they as he does them, and then we discuss them. So if you're looking for an actual watch-along reacts, go watch Jeff's The Dream. But you can come back to see us in the moment, find out. So chat, be cool. Don't be jumping ahead. Mm-hmm. Be cool. Being like, hey, best racing game. They canceled this category.
I'm excited, Greg. Because normally the nominees, they just kind of like they show up one day. And it's like, all right, cool. This is what we're dealing with. But I feel like with this one, we've been talking about this differently. Like, I think it might have to do with the fact that we have the two titans going up against each other. With God of War and Elden Ring. Where filling in the gaps of everything else, I feel has been more difficult this year than in any year. Because while we've had years that were like, okay, we have the big bangers. We've had other years that are like, we have a lot of 9 out of 10s. We've had some years that are like, oh, the indies showed up. I feel like this year we kind of got all of those things in some way, and balancing them against each other is like, oh, I don't know what I would put where.
I was looking at my profile on the GG app.
GG!
And forgetting games that, when I played them in April or May, thought to myself, this is easily a top 10 of the year.
Stranger Paradise.
A Stranger Paradise, yeah. Finally, when am I going to fight chaos? And just like trying to build this top 10 list seems impossible because you kind of have like, I feel like I have three or four definites, and the rest of them, almost like our MCU list, where it's like
I kind of remember this
number 5 through 20 can all be kind of just interchanged, depending on what day you're kind of feeling that mood or whatever.
Well, the day right now, Andy, is November 14th, 2022, a beautiful Monday. I'm not allowing you guys to think about this at all. What are the games that for sure are in your top 5? Go.
Elden Ring, Ragnarok, Sifu, Neon White, Kirby.
Greg.
God of War, Marvel Snap. I'm looking at my list and I don't care. Immortality, because they're not organized on GG app. Okay. I'm looking at my GG app as well and they're not organized. This will change. I'm not held to it, right? Cult of the Lamb. I already said Immortality, right? That was one. Then it's like, it's a toss up of like, do I go with Horizon? Do I go WWE? Do I go Rogue Legacy 2? Do I go to Escape Academy?
You don't have an answer.
Yeah.
No gut. There's no gut there, Craig.
Sure, no.
You have to guess.
All I know is that it's God of War, followed by Marvel Snap. Put it on the fucking board.
Play some Elden Ring.
Everybody.
Play some Elden Ring.
I did. Sucks.
Wow. I'm out here. Andy, mean you're great.
Let's go.
Actually, dude, I'm a dork, so I have this all written down. I keep up with it during the year. So yeah, on here I have Elden Ring, Sifu, Immortality, God of War Ragnarok, Live Alive, and that's 5. And I'm adding my 6, which is Horizon Forbidden West.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, God of War, Sifu, Marvel Snap, Kirby. Those are the 4 that I have locked. I want to keep that 5th spot open.
Now, see, the Game Awards had a tweet where they were asking people to predict, like, what games do you think are going to be up for Game of the Year? And my 6 for that looked drastically different from my own top 6 of the year.
Yeah.
Which there I do have Elden Ring, Ragnarok, which I would think are locks. But then I think the rest of the 4, I'm like, I could see these switching out for whatever. But then I have Horizon, Kirby, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, because, of course, those Xenoblade Chronicles nerds are out there. And also, that's like one of the big Nintendo games, one of the big JRPGs. That's a game that I think has a lot of people going for it in terms of quality, people like vying for it. And then I have Vampire Survivors is like the indie darling that people are pushing in that way.
I believe it was on Friday. You guys had a great conversation on Games Daily. No, that was with Jordan. So it must have been Thursday. You and Tim had this conversation. I was listening to driving into work about Game of the Year, the toss up for it. And does Horizon end up getting snubbed? Does it fall out again? And Tim made a great point of like, well, name them all. And then you guys got through, I think, 4 before you're like, well, now it's like 5th and 6 are like things could be a toss up.
Always the bridesmaid.
What I'm fascinated for today, you talked about it, Tim, of like these noms feel a bit different, right? What I'm fascinated about today for these noms is the fact that we get outside of our bubble. You know what I mean? We're in our bubble. When we talk about stuff, it's something else you guys talked about on the show, right? That Sifu has a lot of juice around here. Does Sifu have juice everywhere? Is an IGN pulling for Sifu too? Is that on their short list of 5? And in the same breath, when you start bringing in the Xenoblade nerds, the Kirby nerds, what does that do to a Horizon, right? Does Horizon fall by the wayside and become everybody's, yeah, that's a 6th place game. We loved it. We had a great time with it, but it was just more of, you know, Aloy. It wasn't this amazing thing. That's what's going to be fascinating today with all the outlets that have come together to cast their votes here.
Can I predict a snub that is going to kind of bum me out? But I feel like I did this to myself.
Give me your snub nose shotgun.
I when we talk art direction, I feel like art direction is something that is so important to me. And a game that I really kind of disliked this year. That thought, well, maybe I'm looking back and thinking that it sucked more than it actually did. But at the time, I was like, this is like a total like okay game that I don't recommend anybody going out and playing immediately.
Elden Ring.
Trek to Yomi.
Trek
to Yomi's art direction, I think, is absolutely phenomenal. And I think that it will not make the list just because it was... It
not came a great out of game.
Time that it's easy to forget about.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game either. But I feel like we've had that in the past. I think that there have been games that are, hey, here's an art direction nominee, but you're not nominated anywhere
sure,
else.
Sure, of course, you know? of course.
So, Barrett, you're telling me right now that the nominations are starting to roll out. Are you prepared and ready to have us roll out?
Yeah, I've got a little makeshift way to roll it out to you guys. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
So first up, we have Best Performance.
Oh, here you go. Starting with a big one here.
Best Performance. Ashley Birch, Horizon Forbidden West.
Man, look how I was going fast. The text
Plague Tale Requiem.
Christopher Judge,
of course. Yeah.
Man Engaged. Let's go.
Immortality, yeah. Sunny of course. Yeah. Okay.
Big snub for Freya.
You know how it is of like that's the thing you come into of like how many times can you have the same game in there? And I'm talking about as an outlet voting. Yeah. You want to just vote down the line. Thank you very much. This is helpful. I was going to start. Wow.
Yeah, they're not up on the site yet. So.
This is great, Bear. This is perfect. So Ashley, Charlotte from Plague's Tale, Christopher Judge, Kratos, Manon Gage from Immortality, and then Sunny from God of War. For me, wow.
Amicia.
Well, that's not even yours. She's Amicia. Yeah. Amicia. You clear the mechanism. You fire it off right now. And for me, it's a race between Manon and Christopher Judge.
I'm right there with you. Like, I'm so happy Manon got... Not
100%. If you didn't play Immortality. Immortality is so fucking great.
Yeah, I would go as far as to say that Manon gave maybe one of the best performances I've seen in a video game.
And
it's tough because
cool ass name. Jesus
it's FMV, right? So it's in a different place. But even for what her role in that game is, right? She's playing essentially four different roles as a character, right? She's playing herself, and then she's playing her character in these three different films. And in each one, she's giving it, right? Like, she's killing it. And I think for me, it's something unique to video games in which I'm like,
for sure.
Yeah, this separates itself. But then I think I look at Christopher Judge and I'm like, oh man, there are some performance moments as Kratos in that video game that I think are going to hit people. Right. And I think if I'm predicting, which I don't know if we're in the prediction stage of this yet.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to go around the table and lock in. I'm writing everyone's predictions down. So Bless, what do you want to start off?
I like it. It's scary.
Even though personally I would go Main Engage, I think I'm going to predict Christopher Judge. Just based off of it being God of War, it being his best performance as Kratos, it having moments that I think are going to go down as like, oh, this is a video game moment of all time. I think Christopher Judge absolutely killed it, and I think people are going to give it to him for that.
I'm right there with you. I think it's Christopher Judge. He crushed it just like he did the first game, but I think this one even elevated the performances that much more. I feel like everyone on this list, like, this is a banger year for performances 100%. As well. Sonny, I know Andy, I've heard you say that you weren't the biggest fan of him in Ragnarok.
Yeah, I don't think he's as good as he was in 2018.
I feel the opposite. Like, I really enjoyed hearing him just a little bit more grown up and having him have a little bit more fun. And without getting into plot points, I love where he went and the things he got to do and how he performed those. But I don't think it held a candle to Christopher Judge, who I think just really is a... He shows you how it's done when it comes to this stuff.
I'm going to go against my gut and vote for... By the way, if you switch the first two letters in their name, it's Ganon Mage. Which is crazy.
Oh my god.
Really cool. I'm gonna vote for them just because I haven't played Immortality, but I feel like that's going to be a
play Immortality!
Holy shit.
Play Elden Ring thing. But
I did! I at least tried it. You haven't even tried Immortality.
Yeah, I don't even watch movies at home, you know what I mean? I'm going to vote for them just because I feel like it's going to be one of these independent type darlings that we've seen.
Sure.
Similar to how Disco Elysium won Game of the Year.
Her Story, right?
Yeah, I was going to say the woman from Her Story, she won Performance of the Year.
Yeah, so there's definitely a shot.
And I think we had the best Christopher Judge moment in 2018 of you will always be a monster. And I know, like, I feel like that cemented that performance. And I think giving it to him again...
Did he win that year?
Yeah, no, it's
Red Dead.
Oh,
Red Dead got it last year.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, then maybe he's due then. Maybe he's due. But I'm still voting for
Man.
Greg Miller.
So we're predicting, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I would vote Manon. As somebody who, God of War Ragnarok is insane. Don't get me wrong. I love it. And I think it's a complete package. It's a masterpiece. And I'm not taking anything away from Christopher Judge's performance, what I think is amazing. But I also, when I think of perhaps the strongest performances in that game, I think of other characters surrounding him maybe a bit. Or maybe it's just the fact that the entire cast is elevated to such a degree. Whereas, yeah, Manon for what a personal game immortality is, and I mean your own journey through it of you finding the clips and finding the next thing and doing the thing, seeing her performance change, the fact that she does so many, no spoilers, play immortality, the fact that she does so many different things with her character in the game, like, I think it's incredible. And I think it's also, her story is so impressive. Manon's story is so impressive. Like, she's brand new. She, like, just came out of acting school and Sam Barlow picked her up for this part and this role. And you see her getting all this acclaim, deservedly so, because I think she's doing such impressive stuff. I would vote for her. However, I think immortality is criminally underplayed, and I do think Christopher Judge will be the one who wins.
There you go.
I hope Manon Gage gets shout outs and like legitimate like film awards.
Here's the thing though. Whatever. Right? First off, we're talking how we'd vote for her right now. Great. Roger, clip it out, we'll tweet it at her. Then guess who we're gonna meet then? At Game Awards, you and me.
Oh shoot. Hell yeah.
Make your own award. You can give him your game award.
Sure.
No.
First off, you think I'm carrying that thing down there? You know how heavy that guy is?
How do you think Jeff Keighley would feel if we made our own Kind of Funny Awards and then brought them to the Game
Awards?
Sure, you'd love that.
It's the Game Awards Kind of Funny Game Award where we have, you know what I mean? Like, we have our own,
we're just at the after party, at the hotel bar.
We're live streaming.
TSA would confiscate the shit out of all of them.
I love it. Now, Barrett, we ready for the next one?
Now the website's up. So now I feel like it's up to you guys where you want to go next.
It's like Jeopardy.
Yeah, we got a bunch.
Let me tell you, I saw the nominees for one of the categories. I won't say which.
Yeah, but chat, like, be cool.
Chat, be cool. But I saw one. I'm like, yo, this is a fucking category right here. I'll wait till we get there.
let's start with the stuff that we probably don't know. I say let's work from the bottom up, and then we'll go from there. We'll decide as a group.
Okay, best esports.
Yeah,
I want to see esports.
Just so we can see him and we all celebrate the nominees.
I want to see if
here we go. Best esports event. EVO 2022 League of Legends World Championship, the PGL Major Antwerp 2022, the 22 Season Invitational, and the Valorant Championship.
I think this goes to EVO because it captured that moment on the internet where I feel like all of the other esports aren't necessarily big in our sort of side of the industry. I'd personally vote for Valorant. But I think EVO kind of owned that weekend in a really big way.
My question is, who's voting? Because, of course, we're one of the Game Awards outlets that votes, right? But I don't recall, and Greg would know this better than me, I don't recall this being a category
that was
on our thing.
List. No.
And so I wonder if this is going to esports people and how that affects it.
Yeah, you may be right.
Because if we were voting, I would think, I think EVO would get it because EVO did have that moment online. And EVO, in terms of how it displays fighting games, right, it's very watchable. It's very easy to follow. And it's very fun, right? Because it is you going from game to game of, like, if you don't care about Tekken, you might care about Street Fighter. If you don't care about Street Fighter, you might care about
Smash.
Guilty Gear or Smash or whatever. You know, Smash, I don't know if it was there this year. But, like, you know, I think there is
specialized juries also convene for other categories, including esports, accessibilities, and best adaptation.
So, yeah, then I wonder if, because World is World, right, and it's League, right, how much does that carry an impact in the esports world that cares more about something like that, or the Valorant event? I would personally go for EVO, but I'm also not equipped to judge it because I only watched EVO out of all these.
I thought Valorant was going to win last year. There was a category where I think Tens was one of the nominations. Was that already a year ago? Holy shit. I think that was already a year ago. I think Valorant is going to have its moment amongst like a more of a common sort of side of the fan base. But if this is, I think League of Legends won last year. I wouldn't be surprised if League of Legends won again just because of how massive of a performance that happens and how big it is overall.
I had a little Nas X there.
The most recent one did, yes. Absolutely. Wild.
Yeah. So there we go. You were at Worlds, though, Andy. You're not going to, like, rock for a little harder, personally?
Was Worlds even on there?
It was.
I read them all. I don't even
know. Yeah. I mean, I like Valorant as an esport more. And
yeah.
I...
Damn. Is this because Mike left you?
No. No, just League of Legends. I just don't quite fully understand everything yet, but I like first-person shooters and watching two really good squads go face-to-face and having epic comebacks is always really fun to watch.
Moving on to the next category, Baird, if we could bring it up, we have best esports coach.
We can skip this one, I bet.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody there.
Best esports team. Andy, any thoughts or Bless, any thoughts on these?
I have a question. Is LA Thieves 100 Thieves?
Yes.
They changed their name, huh?
No, just no, their that's team. Their
too many hundreds, huh? No, no, they're more than 100. Yeah. Less than 100.
Yeah. Yeah. Playoffs. LA is one of the 100.
I'm voting for the Dallas Fuel there, even though they're not there.
I'll ride in too.
World champs.
Greg,
recently.
Make sure you make two kind of funny game award game awards or whatever.
Got it. Sure.
I'll vote for LA Thieves there. I assume that they're going to win right here.
You think they're going to win LA Thieves?
Yeah, I think so.
Where is IDOM? Sorry, I'm getting ahead.
If we want to go to the next athlete, if this doesn't go to Ye on the far right, They're out of their fucking mind.
Ye do? Ye's been saying some wild stuff in the media.
Ye, they call him El Diablo. Kanye. He used to play for Team Optic, and then Team Optic just decided they weren't going to have a Valorant team anymore. I don't know how that gets decided. It's fucking bullshit. It's the first time, I've ever had a team just disappear on me.
No.
Like, can you imagine? Like, the first time I've experienced what the Browns and the Colts and the Ravens and all that bullshit, where suddenly they're like, well, the Seattle Supersonics don't exist anymore. Now they're in Oklahoma City. That's how it felt with me. I was like a huge Optic fan. I have friends there, and they used to be formerly Team Envy. They owned the Dallas Fuel. And then they just decided, I don't even think it was their decision. I think it was the Valorant League that's kind of forming. When they just don't have a team anymore. It fucking sucks.
Sucks, bro.
Sorry, and all the players just went everywhere. It's really heartbreaking. But I think Ye will win it. Ye is like such a dominant force in Valorant.
Okay.
I love the idea of Kanye being a dominant force in Valorant. Next category.
Best esports game.
Best esports game. This one, we could predict.
We should probably read through them for audio listeners also.
Yeah, so reading through this one,
Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Dota 2.
League of Legends, Rocket League, and Valorant.
Shout out to Rocket League.
Hell yeah.
Still just doing its thing. I mean, I feel like it's League of Legends, right? It's always League of Legends.
I'd vote for Valorant, but it's always League of Legends.
I abstain.
Riot is just dominating.
Okay, if you're abstaining, then if anyone's abstaining, then we shouldn't count the predictions.
Okay.
Which I think is fair.
I'm not going to say
cool, anything. Cool, okay.
Riot gets their Project L game?
Oh, my God.
Like, God damn. They are just a force in the esports world. It's unbelievable.
Next category. Most anticipated game. This is the one I don't think we need to actually predict because this is that weird audience voted one.
But you know, well, I mean, like I think it's fun to do it whatever. It's the audience now. You get in their head, right?
It's Tears of the Kingdom because that'll be the first game on the Nintendo Switch Pro.
100%, right? Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and I'm so upset that there's no Street Fighter here.
Oh,
big snub.
Yeah. What more does Street Fighter 6 have to do to hype y'all up? we've given everything.
I'm going Zelda.
Zelda.
Yeah.
Zelda.
With a bullet.
Actually. Wait, this is counting towards our prediction.
This is counting towards
our prediction. I'm going to predict Hogwarts Legacy.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Hogwarts Legacy.
He's going to be different. He's trying to get some points on him. There's no way that's happening.
I'm surprised Spider-Man 2 didn't make it on there.
And they say
I think a lot of people just forget that it's supposed to be coming out next year.
Yeah, they haven't made the noise about it.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not going to stand here waiting. Next up, we have Best Adaptation. Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted. There's only one right answer, you know what I mean?
Of course, it's Uncharted.
But Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is not going to win, which is absolute garbage.
You really don't think it will? You think Arcane will?
Oh, it's going to be Arcane or Cyberpunk, easily.
It's easily going to be Arcane, where Arcane is thought of as just one of the best shows made, not even just adaptation.
The amount of people I heard talk to me about that. I was watching this video game show, family members, right?
Yeah.
Right now, and I'm like, you're watching Arcane. Yeah, okay.
See, I've seen people say that Cyberpunk is one of their favorite animes ever made. Like, people are giving that similar amount of acclaim to Cyberpunk as well. So I think it's for sure going to come down to those two. And I don't know what's going to separate them.
You want to know? You'll think I'm doing a bit, but you want to know what'll separate them?
What up?
Anime. Like, I think by putting something into the anime category immediately limits its appeal to a bunch of people. It's like, oh, I don't like anime or I don't watch anime. Whereas I think Arcane being a...
Imagine Dragons.
Digital show, yeah, thing on Netflix, right? It didn't scream of being in a genre other than animated, which is one of the reasons I wasn't super down to go watch it or whatever. Also, that's why episode
one of Edgerunners is also like the people that are like, oh, I've always wanted to be a cyberpunk one day. Like, what
does
that mean?
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm going Arcane as well, but I'm going to mark the fuck out of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 wins. What are you locking in, Bless?
I hope Uncharted wins just to fuck with everybody.
If Uncharted wins,
God,
not a bad movie.
No, I like Uncharted, but like it is not the best adaptation.
I'm walking into Naughty Dog and cussing out Neil Druckmann if Uncharted wins.
Like, I had nothing to do with this.
How dare you?
Are you telling me you fell out of an airplane?
Next year, though, I'll lock it in right now. Next year, Last of Us on HBO wins.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Twisted Metal, when does that come out?
That does come out next year.
I'm locking in Twisted Metal. Lock me in for Cyberpunk.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just want to say, I want to separate
myself. Spicy blast today. I like it.
I'm just saying, Tim, if you had any love of content and excitement, you would allow me and Blessing to lock in Last of Us in Sweet Tooth right now. Then it gets double points if we're right.
Oh, yeah.
If you do a 365 sight unseen on both shows, I think that should count. Chat, remind us.
Hold on. So you want your vote for Last of Us to be locked in now, and you want his vote for Twisted Metal on Peacock to be locked in now.
Okay. He's very brave about it.
Grand Prix was most going to win anyway.
Oh, man.
Why is that a show? Like, what?
It's a movie. Fuck.
It's a movie. Show some respect.
Talk about Twisted Metal.
Oh, because it's gonna be fantastic. It's gonna be great.
You're gonna be all be like, man, Anthony Mackie just put on the performance of a lifetime.
They're gonna make a fucking Cool Borders show next or some shit.
If we're so lucky, Andy Cortez.
What is Sony doing?
What's the next category?
Give me the Fallout show.
Indie debut.
Ooh, best debut indie. We got Neon White, Norco, Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivor.
Oh, what a category. What a category.
I'm unfamiliar with.
I feel like I've heard about Norco on like the Waypoint podcast, and every time they talk about it, it seems like a fascinating game that
Norco.
I keep meaning to play.
It's actually a 2022 point-and-click adventure video game released on Mac and Windows in March. The game takes place in an alternate version of Norco, Louisiana.
Oh, I thought it was Noco, but an Australian made it.
Oi, Governor! Norco is a text-based point-and-click adventure that immerses the player in the sinking suburbs and industrial swamplands of an increasingly surreal and distorted South Louisiana. That sounds fucking awesome.
This is tough.
Also, kind of a weird cheat code for Ben Esposito to be here, because like
that's not his
studio's debut. I guess it's like his brand new studio, but he worked on Donut County.
Yeah,
he made Donut County. So
friend of the show.
That's a weird one.
But that's the first game that the team is coming together for. A game isn't just one person, Andy.
Yeah, jerk.
Thank you.
I always viewed Neon White as a follow-up to Donut County in my head, like as Ben Esposito's next game. So I do think that's a weird one, but I get the technicality of it.
It's going to be Vampire Survivors.
Yeah.
I vote Vampire Survivors, too.
Vampire Survivors is my vote as well. Though, personally, I'll probably go Neon White.
I think it would go Stray.
I do think Stray has a shot, because there's a bunch of cat perverts out there.
Yep. Are you a cat pervert, chat? Get your litter
only
box.
You can decide how you live your life. Next category, please.
Content creator.
So this is the
Carl Jacobs.
Let's go, this
is the category I was talking about. So we got Carl Jacobs, we got Ludwig, we got Nibelian, we got Nobru, and then I assume that's Cutie Cinderella is getting cut off by the video. Yeah. I assume that's what it is.
Oh man,
what a category this
she
is.
She walked by me at World, and I was like, oh, "That's Cutie. That's cool."
Like, Nibelian,
dude,
a fucking saga.
Yo, I want him to win so bad. I don't think there's a chance.
No, I don't think he has a chance. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I mean, we gotta pull for our boy Carl Jacobs, though.
Of course.
Of course.
I think Nibelian retiring kind of gives him some juice here. Of like, if we're gonna give him his flowers,
you think he's gonna come reveal himself on stage?
Oh my god, that would be incredible, right? He walks up, it's fucking Phil Spencer. It's been me the whole time.
Oh man, I feel like I might be losing points here, but I gotta do it. I'm putting Nibel down.
Is it a prediction?
It's my prediction. I'm fucking doing it.
Is this one that the
this is a fan voted
on?
Though? That's the thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Isn't it? This is how I won back in the day for Trendy Gamer.
Yeah,
we motivated the audience.
Is it a percentage fan vote or is it entirely fan voted?
I think it's entirely fan.
That's interesting because we were the ones that nominated people, right?
Yeah, we nominated.
We did this category.
Yeah.
So
I think it's
oof.
Ludwig and Cutie split the vote.
Winners are determined by a blended vote between the voting jury, 90%, and the public fan vote, 10%.
Okay.
Fans can vote for their favorite games, this, that, the other. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, fuck it, dude. I'm putting Nibel.
I think it goes to Carl. You have a good point there, Andy, of Ludwig and Cutie being the power couple that probably splits the votes there, you know?
I'm going to say Carl.
So this for sure is voted, you said 90% by the...
That's just the generalized how does it voting work on this thing here. I don't have anything else about that specific category, like in the old days.
Because that totally changed my answer. Because if it is fan voted, I'm going Carl. But if it is like outlet voted, I'm going Nibel. I'm going to go Carl.
Yeah, Carl has the power of Minecraft, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Carl just has the power.
Yeah.
He can do anything.
I got the power.
I'm predicting Carl.
Okay.
It's the whole question of where do the votes come from?
Have some fun. Live your life.
I'll vote for Carl. I'm personally going to vote for Carl as well. He has my endorsement.
That's wild.
Yeah, shout out.
Content creator of the year at the Game Awards. Carl.
Shout out to you, my dude.
That's so
freaking
wild.
Incredible.
He was at the Nickelodeon Choice Award. The Kids' Choice Award.
Next category.
Best multiplayer.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Ooh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Man, kind of forgot Multiverses came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of came and went, huh?
Yeah.
That one's going to be tough. I think it's going to be Splatoon. I think the industry kind of, our industry especially, right? This isn't necessarily the big popular vote. I don't think there's a lot of people out there that are super into, on our side of things, that are super, like playing COD, like all the big outlets and stuff like that. I don't think Overwatch 2 will win it either. I'm going to say Splatoon. I feel like it's one of those kind of industry darlings.
I don't think it is. I feel like a lot of, after that first initial week, I feel like people who stuck around with Splatoon 3.
Just Reb Valentine.
All they do is talk shit about it because of the mistakes that they keep making.
That's Nintendo, though.
Yeah.
You get that bump. I'm going Multiverses. I feel like with this list of games, like, Andy, you're making a good point of, like, there wasn't one that, like, I think stuck with the industry.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, Call of Duty might get the edge just because it's Call of Duty. And people seem to be really enjoying the multiplayer as well, right?
Again, it's one of those things where, like, the internet isn't real life. So, like, just because you hear a popular streamer shit on the game, it doesn't mean that the game is bad because a lot of people aren't there. A lot of the casuals are still enjoying it.
I just looking at this, it's like, I love Ninja Turtles, and, like, I think it is an excellent game. I'd put that more in the family multiplayer as opposed to, like, this category of what they're talking about. Splatoon, I don't think quite hit right. Overwatch 2, from you guys, sounds like it just kind of didn't do what the sequel to Overwatch needed to do. So yeah, Multiverses for me.
For me, it comes down to Multiverses and Overwatch 2. Even though I think there's a lot of stuff you can throw at Overwatch 2 to bump it down, I do think that critically, the outlets that are voting just fucking love Overwatch so much. And Overwatch 2 being more Overwatch and kind of giving us that hit again of Overwatch, I think is going to do a lot for a lot of people. And I think it just has that name recognition, right, where outlets look at Call of Duty and they go, oh, it's more Call of Duty. They look at Splatoon 3 and they probably either go, oh, it's more Splatoon 3, or they get upset over, like, Nintendo Online and all the shit that, like, I think holds that down in terms of baggage. And then TMNT, I don't think stands out enough in terms of it being a multiplayer game to give it that edge in that way. Yeah, for me, it comes down to Multiverses and Overwatch 2. And Multiverses does have that thing that Andy just mentioned, too, where it kind of came and went, and how much is that going to come into play during voting where you look at Multiverses and go, oh, that was fun for a month?
If the game came out last month.
Yeah, if the game was still, like, hot, if it came out last month and we were still in it, I think that'd have a lot going for it. But then you have Overwatch 2 there, right, which still has Overwatch in the title that I think carries a lot of weight for people. I'm going to go Overwatch 2.
Yeah, you know what? You convinced me.
No, you locked it in. Too bad.
No, I'm changing. I'm changing to Overwatch.
Is that allowed? Can we do that? Is that allowed?
You can only get 0.5 points off of it.
Bless is going to go back and vote for
the animal. I'm going multiverse that. No,
after all that said, I'm voting Overwatch too. While you're there, I'm doing Overwatch as well. I wanted to try in my head to build a case for TMNT that all these other competitive multiplayer games would kind of take shots at each other erode the voting base.
Yeah.
And then you'd have this one game, TMNT, that everybody enjoyed playing together and, you know, came and went, sure, but that's kind of how what that game's supposed to do rather than, a, you know, games as a service. But I am saying Overwatch 2 because of freaks like Lucy.
I think if that happens, it'll happen with Call of Duty and Overwatch 2. I think those can split the vote and then Multiverses rises from the ashes.
Sure.
But I'm still going to go Overwatch.
I also just don't know how much our industry respects a game like Call of Duty or Overwatch 2.
Enough to nominate them, at least, you know?
Remember, Overwatch got Game of the Year in 2016.
Yeah, I don't know. I also just think of Activision Blizzard being shitty this whole year, you know? Past couple years, and yeah.
Next category, please. Best sports/racing game. F1 2022, FIFA 2023, NBA 2K 2023, Gran Turismo 7, or Ollie Ollie World.
What a snub for WWE.
Yeah.
Wow.
WWE should be on here.
100%.
Unless they don't, like, do we count that as sports and racing?
Yeah.
I mean,
WWE
is
a sport, right?
Fighting,
it's,
I guess.
Non-traditional sports. Yeah.
Non-traditional. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll count that in there.
I mean, I think it's Ollie Ollie World.
I hope it's Ollie Ollie World.
My gut says GT7 for whatever reason, but it better be Ollie Ollie World.
GT7 had all that like microtransaction shit, though, that people hated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that that game? God, that feels like 5 years ago that happened.
I'm going FIFA 23. That was a fire entry.
I'll just vote with my heart and say Ollie Ollie World, but this is one of those categories I'm really not versed in.
I'm going for Ollie Ollie World as well.
Yeah, you are. Get out there.
Kickflip it.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk 1, it's here. Next category.
Next sim.
What an idiot.
Best sim/strategy game, Dune Spice Wars. Wait,
that came out?
That's hilarious. Dune Spice Wars, Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, Total War, Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, or Victoria 3, I want to say?
I had never heard of Victoria 3 until I saw a TikTok about it last night.
Did you immediately go play 1 and 2 to get caught up?
You know what? Dune Spice Wars did come out. I'm conflating that with the MMO that they announced at Gamescom.
I'm voting Mario.
Me too.
Another one that's an industry darling people really love. Didn't get a lot of juice. It came, kind of got overshadowed by the games around it, but you still see people loving it. And then even today, the NPD numbers came out, and it's selling well. So I'm going to say Mario.
I'm going with Mario as well, and I also got to assume that that was on a lot of other people's Game of the Year list as well. I think it has that Game of the Year juice, but may not have made the cut. We'll see.
Bless.
I just DM'd Roger and I asked, how do you like Two Point Campus? Because he's the only person I know that played that game.
You can ask Mike as well.
That should tell you something, though, if they're the only people.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm also going to go Mario.
There we go.
I think next. Mario wins, but only because of name recognition.
Wow. Just throw shade at Ubisoft and Nintendo.
Yep.
Oh, Mike's Roger? Here.
You thumbs up. You like Two Point Campus?
I guess thumbs up from Mike.
Well, Mike, should I put it above? Oh, he's gone. He does what Mike does. He left.
Remember, Mike, of course, is the one who previewed Mario plus Rabbids and was like, yeah, it could be a Game of the Year contender. I was like, awesome. Are you going to play it when it comes out? He's like, no.
This next category
I just
is
got a message from Roger, and he said, it's fine.
Best family game. So can I read the description of this one? Because it's always really weird. For the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. So we have Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Splatoon 3.
Jeff Keighley at some point has to rewrite what the description of this is.
It's called the Nintendo category. It's the Nintendo. Games for kids.
I'm going to give this to Lego Star Wars.
Wow.
I don't even know. I don't remember that game coming out and blowing off the socks of people, blowing off the doors, blowing down the doors.
You were right. It struggled a bit.
Blowing my socks off.
They usually knock your socks off.
Knocking my socks off.
Not just they didn't knock people's. I guess that doesn't work too.
But I think all the Nintendo games there will eat each other up in the Star
I think people
Wars
who love Kirby are going to vote Kirby down the ballot when they see it. And I shouldn't say that because I don't know where else it's nominated. I think this is an easy one of like you look at the competition here and you're like, oh, this is my chance to give Kirby flowers. I'm saying Kirby gets it here.
I'm also going to predict Kirby.
That's a great call.
The only thing that makes it tough is like, what are the outlets thinking when they see best family game? Because every single year there are people on Twitter that are like, family game, like you can't play this with your family. It's single player. And I'm still like, I don't know what Jeff means when he says best family game. That said, I think if you just look on the games on this list and you're like, I'm going to vote for the best one, I'm Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
I think he means like you can play it knowing that like a titty isn't going to pop up on screen.
Okay,
Kirby's that's where he's wrong either. About Kirby. You know, end game.
Give me your mortality.
Yeah. You know what? Put me down for Kirby.
Okay, we're changing.
We gotta make a lock in.
You change the vote.
I did it. I didn't. I said I changed back. I kept it multiverse.
It's got to. We got to move to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where it's your final answer.
If you lock, like, if you lock, you lock.
I lock it. Lock it.
I didn't lock it. I mean, I didn't lock it. Kirby.
I don't like it.
I don't like it one bit.
Kentucky Kirby.
Then I'm going to go Kirby as well. Kirby's, I mean, this game's fantastic. It's the best Kirby game we ever had. People have talked like that. They know that, right? Like, that's kind of the public sentiment about all this. I do think Shredder's Revenge got snubbed from this category because, like, it is a family game. Like, that is a fun game that's cool for kids, and you can play with your dad and stuff, and it's going to be fun. But
they're stabbing, though, you know, Kirby. Shredder.
I think y'all are right, though, that Kirby will be nominated further up on the list in other genres, and it will not win those.
Yeah.
So this is the one. This is its chance to win.
Next category, please.
Best fighting.
Best fighting game. DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Sifu. Battle
what
R.
The, fuck?
The King of Fighters 15 Multiverses, and Sifu.
They released a multiplayer patch? What the fuck?
For the best game designed primarily around head-to-head combat.
Boo. Someone thought they were clever as shit, and somehow they're like,
game with hand-to-hand combat now, we're allowed to nominate for best fighting.
This is what I'll say. As somebody who wrote in for when we were doing our nominations and voted in the best fighting game category, not that many fighting games came out this year, so I think they got to four, and like outlets struggled, and they're like, fuck, what else? Because like, DNF Duel, I played quite a bit of DNF Duel. It's not the best fighting game this year. Like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, I also played quite a bit at Summer Games Fest. The game's fine. Like, I think King of Fighters, if you're talking about best fighting game, best traditional fighting game, on this list is going to be King of Fighters 15. Multiverses had the juice in terms of popularity, so I think that's up there as well. And then I'm surprised Sifu made it on here and it wasn't either WWE 2K or Rumbleverse. I would have thought that those would have been people's fifth choice. But if I have to predict,
I'm going to vote for Multiverses.
Let's lock it. Lock it before anybody else makes an argument where this kid can't, you know, wiggle out of it. I'm also saying Multiverses while you're over there.
I think that's the game that the industry played the most.
Most popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, sorry, did you lock one yet, Bless?
No, I haven't locked it.
Okay.
But you can go first.
I'm between Multiverses and Sifu. Because it's like, I think Sifu is a dumb answer for this category. But I mean, I obviously.
But we got a Kirby situation.
It's a much better
up.
Game, yeah. Where it's like, oh, people are gonna want to give it something, and like by the definition, it's not like it's like outside of realms. I would argue this is not fighting. It's like, okay, head to head combat, whatever. I'm still going Multiverses though. I think that the sheer amount of people that played it and the fact that it's actually a fighting game. Yeah.
For me, it's a battle of critical reception and like critical, I guess, review versus popularity and like how many people flock to this game, because Multiverses has the juice in terms of how many people played it and like the conversation around it and like TikToks and it infiltrating social media and streaming. King of Fighters 15, I think it's just a better fighting game.
Do it.
Do I want to go King of Fighters 15? I'm gonna go King of Fighters 15.
Yeah, you are.
Bless, you're feeling the way we feel during Kind of Feudy.
Oh man,
like what's the right answer versus what did the audience pick?
Yeah, you know? Damn, I feel I don't feel great about it, but I'm locking it in.
Let's do the next category. Best
role-playing
game. Elden Ring. Live Alive.
Live Alive. Let's
live
go.
Live Alive. Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Triangle Strategy.
No. Triangle Strategy. Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Where is Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin?
I mean, it's Elden Ring.
Yeah. It's Elden Ring, but I'm so happy Live Alive got the nom because I was worried.
Yeah, I'm going with Elden Ring.
I also am
going I don't need to get into this mental battle of like
what you want.
Maybe people vote for something else here in case Elden Ring gets it.
Yeah.
No, I think this is Elden Ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy for all the Xenoblade Chronicles fans though. Like
congrats, Cisco.
They've been singing the praises of the third iteration in that game.
Yeah, great year for RPG players.
Oh my god!
All these, like these are a bunch of bangers.
My thing with this category too, going back to Elden Ring, is the fact that you know Elden Ring isn't a video game that happens to be an RPG. Like it is an RPG-ass video game, and it excels at being an RPG. So like, if you're voting best RPG, I think you got to go Elden Ring, and I think it deserves it in this category too.
Before we continue on reading the rest of the categories, I want to tell you about some of our sponsors, starting with Amazon Games. You can go to amazon.com/gameawards to discover and shop the nominees of the Game Awards all in one place. Shout out to them for sponsoring this episode. Amazon's partnering with the Game Awards to showcase all the nominees in one place on amazon.com/gameawards, where you can pick up the best that gaming has to offer. If you're excited to dive into this year's masterpieces, like picking up God of War Ragnarok or Elden Ring, getting hyped for the stacked new release schedule next year, you can pre-order Resident Evil 4, Dead Space, Forspoken, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and so much more. Looking to find the perfect family-friendly video game gift, you can check out Sonic Frontiers, baby, of course. And also Kirby and the Forgotten Land and Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Amazon has you covered for all your video game holiday needs. So remember, go to amazon.com/gameawards to learn more. And now, shout out to the rest of our sponsors. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use, right? Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200+. That's right, you could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. There's this app that we love using that takes care of that for us, and it's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you have to do is press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. We love Shopify here at Kind of Funny because we use it to run our very own kindoffunny.com/store. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, and grow the following that keeps them coming back. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your business keeps growing, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content, Shopify's got you every step of the way. It's how every minute new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify. And you will too. When you're ready to launch your thing into the spotlight, do it with Shopify, the commerce platform backing millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Go on, try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/kfgames to start selling online today. shopify.com/kfgames. Shout out to Policy Genius for sponsoring this episode. Life insurance is the type of thing you never hope you need, but the reality is mortgage payments, childcare, and other expenses don't disappear when you're gone. And since life insurance typically gets more expensive as we age, now's the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 of coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees, and your personal info is private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. And now we are back. Barrett, can you please bring up the next category? I'm having fun with you guys.
This is great.
This is a great idea.
Here we go. Best action adventure. Now we're starting to get into those categories, like from RPG on, where you're like, okay, yeah. Like, there's a lot of overlap here. Where are we going to put what? Best action adventure, A Plague Tale, Requiem, I don't know why I said that so weird, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Tunic.
Wow, Stray is getting flowers, dude.
Yeah, because a lot best of people love adventure? Stray.
It's hard to believe so many people are wrong about games.
Action, whatever. I'm not going to get into it.
God of War.
You telling me this cat went on an adventure?
Adventure, I'll give you. What action is there in Stray?
You got that gun. You got that little, yeah, you that got little, the fire the... gun for that one level. Yeah. When they introduce that one mechanic for that one level.
I don't like.
I'm going to go with God of War Ragnarok.
Combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. I'm just saying, like, what did
you're talking shit about Stray.
I'm still talking shit about Stray.
I was about to rise up and we're about to talk shit about God of War.
Who did that cat throw hands with? You know?
Those little mites that came at him, remember?
For like 2 seconds.
Yeah, the head crabs.
Little face huggers. Like oh, man, those head crabs are
so
terrifying.
We got Andy on God of War. Greg.
God of War. I think God of War is one of the, we talk about, like, Kirby. I think God of War, in very specific, I mean, when we get to gaming, we're a different thing, but, like, best action adventure, and you read that description, that's God of War. To a T.
Yeah. I'm going God of War also, just for that same thing of, like, Elden Ring is an RPG-ass game, right? Like, that is the best RPG on that list. I look at this list, and I'm like, oh, yeah, best action-adventure. Like, God of War Ragnarok embodies that. Like, yeah. God of War Ragnarok.
It's funny you say that, because I was there, thinking, like, while we were in ad break, of, like, maybe Elden Ring isn't an RPG, you know? Just thought I had. didn't look at the chat or anything.
I can feel Andy's blood getting hotter.
One thing I'm surprised there is, like, it. In the action category, are we going to get Kirby there? Because, like, Kirby had some puzzle solving.
Oh, yeah, but I would say Kirby was more action, like, than...
I think they got to redefine some of these categories.
Like, Mario has, like, puzzles in it, but it's still, I'd say...
But how much more are we actually going to see Kirby on the rest of this nominees?
So yeah. That is fair. He better be amusing.
The thing I'm going to propose is turn best action-adventure, just make it best action and adventure game to encompass both those categories, and then... Put, like, best open world game on here. Because, like, that's a wide swath of video games.
I feel like action is different than action adventure. God, this is a topic to itself of, like, defining categories.
But I feel like it's such a minuscule difference for, like, video game categories that you can combine the two and it'll be fine. Because what are we going to, like, when we get to best action?
Action, like, Sifu's action, I wouldn't call it action.
Sifu's a fighting game.
I fucking hate
God damn it.
God, this sucks. This whole thing's horrible. Let's call it all off. I'm also
going
God of War.
We're
going
to get, like, the Golden Globes where we have, like, 12 nominees.
Yeah. I'm going God of War as well. My gut tells me to go with Horizon just because it's like people will be like, oh, God of War is going to get the Game of the Year, so we'll give Horizon something. That's not how Game Awards works. We've learned that a million times now. So God of War, locking it in.
With a bullet. So.
Next category, please. Best action game, Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, or Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Bro, no Kirby. Oh, this hurts.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be anywhere.
Yeah. I think it might be Game of the Year.
I'm voting Sifu here.
Me too. And again, that's a weird heart one. Sifu deserves a win, man. And for me, looking at this, Bayonetta 3, I haven't played much of it. I just started maybe like an hour in. I've heard mixed things even from fans. I know some people love it. I know some people are like, this is not.
A lot of people hate the ending.
Yes.
Obviously, did not vibe with the ending. When
really?
Here, I was talking to her about it.
And she was someone I was saying, counting in the love category.
Well, I think she loved the game. Yeah. I think it's just the ending she didn't like.
I feel like that's the only main criticism I've seen from it, though. I've still seen people talk about that they love the gameplay and it feels like Bayonetta is what they wanted, but then the ending just kind of threw a curveball.
I've seen mixed things from that. Like my homie Andy Lunique, who is like into action games, like really into them. Admittedly, Devil May Cry is like his favorite stuff, so I think there might be a little bias there. But seeing his tweet threads and seeing the way people were responding that seemed to be in that community, that's what's leading me to believe that. Okay. But microcosm of opinions,
sure. I also think with the thing with Bayonetta also is that, like, I've seen enough people say that I like Bayonetta 2 better. Like, I don't know if it exceeds above and beyond what Bayonetta 2 did, and especially in, like, the fidelity category, like, picking up Bayonetta 3. I feel like if I go back to Bayonetta 1, it probably looks fairly similar just because there's not, much to step up there in terms of, I guess, just quality of fidelity. So I don't know if, like, that's going to bring it down for some people as well in terms of this conversation, best action game.
Bear, can you bring it back up so we can look at it for a second? Because, Call of Duty, I don't think, is going to get action game. Neon White, I think, is fantastic. I think, Andy, do you have a argument for that?
No, because my vote's going to go for Sifu as well. I don't think enough people played Neon White. I think Sifu is one of the more memorable games from that part of the year, from that sort of early winter, late spring sort of thing. So, yeah, I think Sifu gets a nomination for sure.
I'm also voting Sifu because it deserves it.
Hell yeah.
I think I want it to be Sifu, But I feel like, again, like the reviews for Sifu being a little bit more lower than like how we all feel about it, I feel like it's going to get in its way when people kind of think about like what they actually enjoyed throughout the year. My gut goes almost TMNT. I think like people are going to want to show love for that.
You'd be wild to give Best Action TMNT Shredder's Revenge. Game I loved.
Yeah,
but
and it's not even like out of this list, not even my favorite.
It's
of
a popularity thing.
Yeah, I just that's where my gut goes of where the rest of the
I don't think that's
votes.
A bad call.
Yeah.
Next up. Best VR / AR.
Among Us just came
how
out.
How did Among Us make it in there? Holy cow.
We got
what do you mean, how did they make it? You were on the voting committee. Remember when I hit you up and I was like, they're trying to get you into these. We're trying to play this ahead of time.
We got After the Fall, Among Us VR, Bone Lab. Hey, Bone Lab from Brandon Lodge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Freddie Wong and Brandon back in the day. Rocket Jump and stuff. That's cool.
Is it the same Bone as Bone Works?
I think so.
Bonesaw.
Okay. Yeah, Boneworks, I think, Boneworks is the like, the program or whatever he made, and then they made, and then they're making games within it. Moss Book 2, and then Red Matter 2?
Yeah, 2.
2.
I've been meaning to check out Bone Lab, actually, because every single thing I've seen people talk about it online, people are over the moon on this game. People keep talking about how incredible it is, so I've been trying to make time to check it out. I did try out Among Us VR in the last couple days. Let me tell you, it's a really cool experience.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is one I would vote that we abstain from voting on.
Yeah, I don't
I'm fine with that. I mean, I have a prediction. I'll predict Bone Lab.
I would predict Among Us VR just because it's one of those popularity things for me.
That's my thing, whereas like I want it to be Moss Book 2, but I would predict Among Us.
Yeah.
Bless, are you going to join the Legion of Boners out there?
No,
I'm joining the Bone Legion Lab. Of Boners.
Next category, innovation and accessibility. Can I read the description for this one? Recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. As Dusk Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, Last of Us Part 1, or The Quarry.
I love this. Like, just these entries, I think, are great entries. 100%. One, because The Last of Us Part 1, I think, might only get its flowers here. And I think that deserves something, just because I know, even though a lot of us might not have wanted this like a remake to The Last of Us, it came out, and it was very quality. And, yeah, they did do a lot of stuff for accessibility and, like, just put in terms of pushing the PS5 further in terms of how this game looks, how this game runs, all that stuff. So shout out to Last of Us Part 1 there. I never even thought about Corey in this context. And I think that makes a lot of sense as well, just in terms of, you know, them adding in the mode where you can make all the choices and then the game plays it for you, right? Sure. Like, they provide a lot of different ways to play and enjoy that experience as well. God of War Ragnarok, of course, pushing forward the Sony first party, like the thing they've been doing for the last couple of years now, I think starting with maybe The Last of Us Part 2, where they've been adding all the accessibility settings to their games. That makes sense as well. Then, yeah, Asus Falls for a similar thing is The Quarry of, that is a very simple game to play and control, sure. Right? Like, you just need to make the choices and it goes.
I think The Last of Us Part 1 gets it.
How come?
I think it had its moment on the internet where it sort of like, hey, not only did they make the game prettier, but look at the lengths that they went to make everything sort of playable. And having a part of the accessibility community saying, hey, you all that keep talking shit about like enough with the remakes. It's like we're finally getting a chance to play these games now. With these games are actually made accessible to us now in a multitude of different ways. So, yeah, I think that gets it.
I only think part one doesn't get it because I don't think it did anything new other than adding the stuff that part two already had, whereas God of War I keep hearing for like the last like week of how much more that they have even when it comes to accessibility. So,
yeah, if I can jump in there, that's my pick as well, where I think Last of Us is Last of Us Part 2 again, which is great and deserves to happen. God of War Ragnarok is a new bevy of different options to go in there and do, where you can get into such minutiae of, obviously, do you want to tap the button, hold the button? Do you want to do this colorblind mode? Do you want options, or do you want to have, you know, things get scanned or this? You can go through and set different color profiles for what you want things to look on.
Timing of puzzles, all that.
Exactly, yeah. There's a million different features in there that, again, I don't think stray too far from what The Last of Us Part 2 introduced with its accessibility suite, but I do think speak to it being a very specific experience for God of War and what that game is. And I think that speaks louder than, oh, it's Last of Us's, it's Last of Us again with the same stuff. It's like, all right, cool, yeah, there's, you know, a whole bunch of different flowers that have been given to it, but I think Ragnarok really made it its own. Sony Santa Monica really made that suite for God of War, and I think that should speak loudly.
Yeah, I'm going God of War. I was personally wowed by the amount of options and how much I enjoyed even looking through them and seeing just like what it can offer different people for different play styles and things. I think that they really did something special that I imagine future Sony games are going to, in the same way Last of Us did for Last of Us 2 to 1, all that stuff. I think we're going to see in the future a lot of the stuff that God of War Ragnarok introduced in the next Horizon or the next Spider-Man or whatever.
I'm also going to lock in God of War Ragnarok. Very large text in that video game. I did not have any trouble reading
and that drop shadow, that blur drop shadow they got on the subtitles. Oh,
let's color code it too. Color code it for who's talking.
Used to this. I might make this my new default.
Next category, best community support. This comes, there's Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky.
I mean, this is, I mean, I'd be down to abstain from this
Me
one.
Too.
Because this
too,
is so specific to.
You have to be in these communities to know the differences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14 always gets a lot of love from this one.
Yeah. Yeah, they do, don't they?
Destiny 2 did a lot this year, I guess.
That's my thing, where I think it's a toss-up between Destiny 2 and Fortnite.
I do think it's really cool that I know the ongoing.
I know we've also
probably
gotten so used to No Man's Sky, by the way.
Final Fantasy 14 won last year.
So yeah, that like the thing is, I think it's really cool that for community support and for ongoing game, it's a lot of the same games every year because the games are ongoing and the communities are just continuing to support what the games are doing. Because like these, there's not a million ongoing games out there. Like these are kind of the cream of the crop, right? Like how many times have we talked about each one of those games on Games Daily in terms of what they're adding and what they're doing? So,
and every single time the Hello Games puts out one of those tweets, it's like, here's No Man's Sky's pyramid update, and you read through it, it's like a bullet list of like, we've added multiplayer, we've added another quintillion more planets.
This does your taxes now.
Yeah. The God of War Ragnarok's in here somehow. Like they keep adding shit where it's like, how in the world do y'all keep doing this? Also, how do you make money? Because you guys don't sell stuff in this video game. Like you can stop at any point.
But, you can just stop.
Yeah, you can make another game that'll make you more money, but they're just like, no, we're gonna keep iterating on this thing.
Next category. Best mobile game. Here we
Let's
fucking
go,
baby! We have Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal, Genshin Impact, Marvel Snap, and Tower of Fantasy.
This is easy, right?
It's Snap, baby!
It's Marvel Snap.
Let's go!
It's
what I was
Marvel
fucking
Snap.
Playing during the ad break. Yeah, it's got to be Marvel Snap. Let's fucking go, Andy.
I will not go.
Yeah. It's Snap across the board. I'm happy that it's getting something. I imagine it's gonna win. Like I do think that this category
I hope
is,
it does.
Is a
what
lot,
a fucking but, game, Tim.
Yeah, oh, man. I crossed collection level 1,000 this weekend. Very excited. Very excited.
Woo! What happens when you get to play the game 3 months early or whatever the hell?
Yeah, 1 month, Greg. 1 month. Crash. Okay. Next up.
Remember when you played Mario Golf earlier than me and I still beat you?
I don't recall that. I was like, I had it like a day early. That was
best indie. All right, y'all.
Respect
things are getting spicy, everybody. We have Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic.
God, this is what I like to see right here.
Oh, God. Damn.
I maybe I've just been out of the loop. I didn't realize people love Tunic this much. Tunic is getting some flowers. Good for Tunic.
Yeah, I think Tunic did enough unique stuff, maybe not overall as a game, but like mechanics that people really held dearly. I've heard a lot of
that. My thing about it is, and I'm not trying to take away from Tunic at all, obviously. I know we didn't love it necessarily. I didn't love it. I know. Whatever.
5 out of 5, amazing for Manny Cortez and kind of funny games.
Nah, but you talked a lot of shit about it, true? And everybody in the comments were like, I don't know about this, you know?
Yeah. That's just how we review stuff. 5 out of 5, we talk a lot of shit.
I just feel like it's, you know, you look at these and these are all triple I's. These are like the big indies, right? They had the most. I think there's probably better indies out there. I think we all have maybe an indie or two that spoke to us a bit more.
Where is Immortality?
Loudly. That's a great fucking question. But I think you get into those being underplayed and these are the ones people know about and put in there.
Also, where's Tinykin? God damn.
Dude, Tinykin.
You and I were the only people,
chance,
I swear,
man.
Who played
Tinykin. Get Tunic off here and put Tinykin in here. I'm sorry,
I mean,
everybody.
It goes to Greg's point of the triple I, right? Like, all of these games had the marketing push in some way that we were familiar and anticipating them before they came out, right? Which, like, for an indie game, I think that is the differentiator between, like, is it going to potentially be an award thing, or are people going to have to fight for it to, like, kind of get recognition? Because Cult of the Lamb is the only one that I don't remember seeing in like a direct or a state of play.
Oh, and it was there.
And I'm sure that it must have been.
Yeah,
but
we saw it playing.
Yeah, I mean, Cult of the Lamb, I knew it going in, but it's like, it's Devolver as well, which adds that extra level. But like Tunic, Sifu, Stray, Neon White, I think all of those And then, yeah, Cult of the Lamb. Like, this list is, this is probably the best list of for this category we've ever had. Like, it's as competitive as a Game of the Year category, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, I have no idea.
I have no fucking clue what to even think.
It's Cult of the Lamb because it hasn't been nominated yet for anything. So I think this will be the one when they, when people finally see Cult of the Lamb nominated for something, they're like, oh yeah, we're voting for that.
See, I go the reverse where, is that the signifier that we're not going to see it win here? Like, the fact that it's only showing up here, is that people then going like, I don't know if I can fit this in any category, getting the best indie game and going, oh yeah, I guess I'll vote for Cult of the Lamb in here, but not enough juice being there to actually get it to win.
Or I don't maybe Cult of the Lamb gets it here. I wish it did. I love that game. I think right now, Barrett, if you toss him back up, I think it's up between Sifu and Stray. I think one of them is going to walk away with it. And I think, honestly, this would probably be the chance where, since there's so many weird fucking cat people out there, this might be where Stray actually gets its actual flowers, where people are like, oh, no, this is where I want to do it. I'm voting Stray. Lock it in!
Also, where's Vampire Survivors? What a year for indie games.
A game we all love because of our amazing Steam decks. We're not sponsored, but we should be. And so, like, if you weren't there, right? You playing it? Who knows?
My gut... Not my heart. My heart's with Sifu, everybody. Mm-hmm. My gut goes Cult of the Lamb.
I hope so. But that's a criminally underplayed one. I talk about that game all the time. Where it was like, I didn't try.
What, Cult of the Lamb? This. I feel like people talked about that more than Stray and longer
Not
than Stray.
Not this fucking building!
Well, our building is a small building in the wider pantheon of the industry.
Group. I knew he was going to say pantheon. I knew it was coming.
It's funny because when I get into my personal taste.
Personal Duffy.
My personal Duffy. I'm going to piss a lot of people off.
Do it.
Right? I look at Stray, and I was like, Stray is fine. It was fine. You know? Best indie game of the year. Have y'all played Immortality? I look at Cult of the Lamb, and I'm like, it was cool. I had a good 7-8 hours of Cult of the Lamb, but, like, best indie game of the year. Have y'all played Tinykin? And then I look at Neon White and Sifu.
Tinykin is not as good as Cult of the Lamb.
Oh, Tinykin is fucking crazy. Great.
It was fine.
Have you seen the art style of fucking Tinykin? Yeah, oh, it's incredible. It. Then I look at Neon White and Sifu, and then I'm like, oh, now we're cooking. Now we're cooking.
My heart wants it to be Neon White so bad.
Me too.
It's so good.
But I'm going to give it to Sifu because I think Sifu has that magical combination of, like, this is a good-ass video game right here. And I think enough people played it. Like, I think there's enough juice behind it in terms of, you know, people actually seeing the recognition, people actually having their hands on the sticks on it. Whereas Stray, Stray out of these are, I would say, is maybe the most popular, right? I think most people had the most to say about Stray. But I don't know if every single person loves Stray.
My heart's with Sifu. I'm voting for Stray.
Bless. I tabulated over the weekend after you came over. I now have 120 hours in Neon White.
Goddamn. Lock in Sifu for me.
It's locked. I think the most split we've been on a category with Andy saying Stray, Bless saying Sifu, Greg saying Stray, me saying Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb.
I like Cult of the Lamb a lot, Greg. Good game.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
good
you,
game.
Andy. Yeah.
Next
good
category,
taste.
Sir. Thank you. Best ongoing. We have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. Very similar.
I was gonna say, is this not the same exact list?
the community thing.
Same argument as always, right? If you're not in it, you're not in it. And so I would guess Destiny 2 or Fortnite, but
yeah. This one we won't actually put our predictions in, but
I'm gonna guess Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, I was also I'm gonna guess Final Fantasy 14 too.
Although I think the hardest core of Destiny fans, and I think of somebody like SkillUp, who goes deep into the grinding of everything and notices all the flaws in how grindy the game can be. But last year they were nominated for the Beyond Light expansion. This year would have been, I believe, Witch Queen, or was that at the end? I forget when Witch Queen came out, but everybody kind of all the Destiny fans loved that expansion. Mm. And so I would not be surprised if Destiny 2 won it there for finally, like, Final Fantasy 14, we get it, you're incredible. Let somebody else win.
When did Zero Build happen for Fortnite? Was that this year? Because Zero Build happened this year, I might give it to Fortnite because that changed the game, literally.
I think it was.
I want to say it was this like year. I remember playing
it's been
from
a long
home.
Year.
Zero Build was huge, and also I think they added Zendaya for the fourth time.
Yeah, that was this year. That was in July. I would have guessed it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, right? Yeah, lock in for unless we're not voting.
Well, we're not voting for this one. Yeah, but
chat, lock in Fortnite for me.
Chat, lock it in.
Next category. Games for Impact. A Memoir Blue, As Dust Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Endling Extinction is Forever, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist.
Ooh.
Shit. I've only played one of the games, and that's Citizen Sleeper, and that's one of the best stories I've experienced. And a game that is totally out of my wheelhouse. I had to, you believe I had to fucking read for about 12 hours? Incredible that a game could get me to do that. But that's how just like enthralled I was with what was happening.
Is it just
in
a text
world.
Adventure?
It's an RPG. Yeah, the digital dice, roll the dice, get your choices. But it is.
Interesting.
I've still been thinking about it since I played it, and I beat it about like seven months ago.
That's the thing where I look at this list, and you know, this is my kind of fucking category. I've played A Memoir Blue, I played As Dusk Falls, and I played Hindsight, Citizen Sleeper, Endling, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist. I have not played, but since they're on this list, I definitely want to.
My question is, because I also played As Dusk Falls, and I fucking loved As Dusk Falls, but like, what was the
social message?
What was
there?
The provoking pro-social meaning or message? Don't do crimes?
I was going to say, if I'm reaching, it's nature-nurture kind of thing, right? Is the family dynamic of being raised in a shitty family? Do you want to be a shitty person? How do you pull away as the character you play as? But I'm with you of like, it doesn't really smack in the same way as the other ones did. But what's hard about it then is like, A Memoir Blue, I wouldn't personally have put there. I was disappointed by that. And then Hindsight, similar thing where I just didn't vibe with Hindsight. So I really don't have a pick for this, and I need to play the rest. So I abstain. I need to play the rest. Tim, I will be back.
I'm interested in this.
Tim, I will be back.
You'll be back?
To this category. I'm going to play the other games I haven't played.
Good. Dude, should we vote on this one or abstain from this
I don't think we should do it. Yeah. I can abstain on this one. I only played one.
But yeah, I want to look into this Endling game. Next up, we have Best Audio Design: Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West.
Oh, Horizon has some good sound design.
This is an interesting one because we always talk about it where it's like Call of Duty, they always talk about their gun sounds and they focus on the sound design. So I think that that usually gives it the leg up. We didn't have those in-person events this year, so I feel like that storyline's gone. So I don't know, man. All these games are excellent.
This is one that in our nomination list I put Overwatch 2 because it was one of the few games that I saw, like, again, Overwatch 2 was coming out. What do we promote? It's just more Overwatch. What can we promote? And they talked about the advancements that they had in audio. So that sucks that it is in here because they really put in a lot of work of, like, this is how a gun sounds inside of a small concrete building. And here's how it sounds in a big sort of hallway. Like, they do a lot of really cool stuff like that. I really don't even know. I would guess Horizon Forbidden West. I think the
I think
the dinos have really cool noises.
Andy locking in Horizon.
Yeah.
Can you bring him up again, Barrett, please?
I almost sent a text to Michael to ask how good did Gran Turismo 7 sound?
Oh, I mean, incredible. Like that's the whole point of that game is like the realistic engine sounds and the like
I could do that with
the
my
sound when you turn on your high beams.
Yeah, right, that sounds just like the game.
Thank you. Holy cow.
Didn't know I was podcasting with a couple cars. That's
Polyphony, hit us up. We'll save you some dough, you know?
Yeah, it's rough.
This might be the toughest category so far.
Because God of War sounds damn good, but I don't think anyone's going to vote it for best audio design.
You don't?
That way.
That's my thing where I'm hung up on it, where I'm like, I think I might lean that way.
And I think even after launch, this was something that we didn't talk about in review. Like, there are some weird audio mixing things and bugs that happen that I feel like I've seen people talk about in its first launch weekend. So, yeah.
You know, I'm going Call of Duty. I'm a simple dude.
I'm going to say God of War.
Man.
Dino sound.
Andy, do you remember how Elden Ring sounded? Aside from because the music, of course, is one thing.
Yeah, no more special than what I think God of War Ragnarok or the other games sound like. I just think that when I think of the creativity required in stuff like Horizon Forbidden West, where it's like, we don't know what a robot dinosaur sounds like. We got to fucking figure that shit out. Where all the other stuff is like, here's what a car is. Here's what a gun is.
Here's what a roaring
monster sounds like or whatever. But I just think the imagination from Horizon Forbidden West gets the vote for me.
I'm also going to lock in Horizon Forbidden West. I think this is where Horizon finally gets its flowers.
And that might be one of the reasons it does, right? You get to this tough category, and you're like, well, I haven't voted for Horizon anywhere else, I assume, if it's going to pop up in the further...
Plus, Ashley Birch is always like, did you want to get a fucking something?
That's sound design.
Yeah,
sound design. Next category, please. Best score and music. You fucks! You absolute fucks! You
There's
have
no
one
Kirby!
Job! One job!
Again, this is...
Everybody played the first 2 hours of Kirby, and then they got bored, and play the fantastic last 2 hours.
Are you talking about Kirby, or are you talking about TMNT?
There's no Kirby
about
on here.
I'm talking about both. Those are the
TMNT should be on here.
That was it. I can't believe it, man. T-Lopes, you are absolutely robbed from this. Ninja Turtle soundtrack was fantastic. And Kirby, come the fuck off.
So to read through the nominees, we got A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Metal Hellsinger, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I'll tell you right now, all right? I'm gonna come out with the spicy takes today. Metal Hellsinger is on here because it's a rhythm game. The music in that game was cool. It wasn't like above and beyond.
Well,
Metal
Hellsinger's on here because they were able to grab a bunch of musicians from the metal industry that are known for their works like in different bands and stuff and had them create original music. I think that's
huge. That's dope, but I also like, I don't know, the music from Metal Hellsinger didn't stick with me. Like, I've not thought about the songs after finishing up the game.
I think Elden Ring wins.
You think what?
Elden Ring wins.
Andy for Elden Ring.
Like, there's
also lock in Elden Ring for me.
There have been, like, I just think of the moment of, obviously, you open the game up every time, you hear how hype that song is, and then getting that reprise in a remixed form of the intro song in the final boss fight is one of the hypest things I've ever experienced.
How's the rest of the music in the game, though?
Amazing. Yeah. It's always fucking hype, dude. They always bring it.
Can I see the categories again?
I'm so sad
the
Kirby
nominees are all of the categories.
No, sorry. Just the nominees for this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm tilted about this. Some bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tim. There's some specific tracks I really love in Ragnarok, but I think it goes Elden Ring.
My thing is, I think Ragnarok is as polished as the rest of the game. Like, the soundtrack is perfect. Like, you can't get better. Like, there's no notes. There's nothing I'd improve. It's varied as hell. It's the most professionally recorded thing ever. It's so damn good. But I don't know. I think that it's not that special at the end of the day.
I also still think of the, like, it's still a lot more of 2018's theme that you hear.
Which is fantastic. But my vote goes Elden Ring. Because,
the score is incredible in God of War Ragnarok, right? Like, Bear McCreary got into his Barry McDuffie for this one. But it is more of reprising a lot of the themes of 2018. And there's new stuff as well. But it doesn't stick out to me as much as compared to 2018, right? Like, I'd put it on that same level. Whereas Elden Ring has a lot of new themes that had me like, oh, let's fucking go, right? Every single time any boss music came up in Elden Ring, I'm like, oh, let's fucking go.
And Xenoblade Chronicles soundtrack is always fantastic, but that I think is also just more of the same. But Greg,
God of War.
I hope.
Shout out to Loki's theme or the sun theme in Ragnarok, because that might be my favorite song in a game this year.
I think it's one of those for me why I'm voting that way over Elden Ring, because obviously I didn't play a lot of Elden Ring, but I'm not taking away from what it's doing. But I think it's just the fact that I think more people will have played God of War, and I think when the music fucking hits, it fucking slaps in there, whether those giant epic moments are happening, all these fucking insane things are going on. And as I always talk to you, Tim, right, you're that guy, you're that score guy, and I am not. So when I recognize, I'm like, oh my God, all the components are coming together right now, and this is amazing, I think that goes a long way.
More Greg, what if I told you that in the final boss level?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know.
It's the turtles fighting against Shredder, and then the Wu-Tang Clan starts rapping about them fighting Shredder.
Sure, yeah.
Also, shout out to Neon White one time.
Shout out to Neon White. Introducing me to
drum and bass. I knew it wasn't going to be here, but that was a really good soundtrack.
I hope T-Lopes Kanye West onto the stage.
I think Neon White was on our nomination list as well as Kirby. I am blown away. It's not even one of those like, I hope Kirby doesn't get snubbed or whatever. I just assumed it was a shoe-in. That's really a bummer.
Yeah. I think less people play that game than we originally thought.
The numbers 100%. Say something different in terms of sales.
I'm talking about people in the industry, Tim.
Fuck the industry. What's the next category? Hey. Best art direction.
Why?
Scorn. Huh?
We got Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray.
Did you get to the museum level in Sifu?
Oh, you're right.
Are you fucking Sifu?
I don't like fighting games, so I didn't want to. You know.
I fucking hate out of you. Here. I hate this industry. I want out.
Who's the fuck is Scorn?
Oh, man. Okay, sorry. Best art direction: Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray. Scorn, shout out to you for making this list.
Yeah.
And honestly, I kind kind of respect it. That game, if anything, had an art direction, right? Like, we know
it definitely
that
had
game.
An art
we
direction.
Know that game because of its art direction. So
if I'm removing one here, it's Ragnarok. Like, I am so bummed out that Sifu is not on this list. I can't fucking believe that.
I can't believe
it. When that game is like, not only was it so much fun to play and it felt incredible, but they also brought all of the aesthetics with it. I am shocked.
Like, the second level, going into the club and, like, first stepping into the club area and seeing how...
And then
incredible.
The club turns into the fire flashback stuff. Like,
dope as
what
fuck.
Are you
the third
about?
The fucking museum... Every single room in that museum fucking slapped. You go into that one room and you have all the fucking like plastic
straight
shit,
think
shit
about
hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, there's the pendulum one. There's the pendulum room that then turns into the boss fight room, dude.
I am blown away. That is such a heartbreaker.
Ragnarok should not be on here. I nominated Forbidden West. I think I was one of a couple of people here who voted Horizon Forbidden West on our personal nomination things that we submit to Keeley, because I'm still blown away by how good every NPC looked in that game. Where
100%.
When I get to when you play a other open world games, you're just used to seeing the characters just kind of like look normal and they don't really have a whole lot of love. But like every NPC had the same motion capture love that every other main character got, and that really blew me away. So that's why I nominated Forbidden West. I think Elden Ring is an obvious choice because
the enemy design and the character design.
It's their character design. It's their environment.
Oh my
it's
God.
The imagination
dude,
and love
you
put into everything.
When you first beat the big first boss in Elden Ring and you step out and you have like one of the, you know, stepping out of Vault 101 moments in that video game and you see the vista and it's like, oh shit.
And that's
that alone can win this category for me.
And that's the first time of about 8 or 9 times that you do experience that in the game.
Elden Ring.
It's obvious why Elden Ring is there. I am so beside myself.
Tim, I'm voting Elden Ring. Lock it in. They got a bunch of weird ass gothic bullshit that people fucking love jerking off to, and that's what's going to get the votes.
Yeah.
When you take the elevator down and you're oh my god.
To Siofa River.
You know what? I'm going God of War.
Fair enough.
He's going God of War.
Because, like, I feel like the God of War is, like, the way I talk about Game of Thrones compared to other TV shows, God of War compared to other video games, where it's, like, the production value is just so high, the costume design, the set design. I think God of War did that, too. Like, I feel like each of the different worlds we enter, like, looks so distinctly different, but lived in and believable, all the characters and all that. And on top of that, this category talking about design and animation, like, the animation in God of War, I'm blown away by every little thing. But I also don't know Elden Ring like that, so I might lose this one. But I am locking in God of War.
Can we bring them up one more time, Barrett? I'm really torn on this one.
Lock in Elden Ring for me, if you haven't already.
I think Stray's world building was phenomenal.
Stray's a good-looking game.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it to...
Scorn.
Squelchy.
It's Scorn!
I hate that so much. it has juice!
Scorn does have a lot of juice in that game.
A lot of wetness give it
going
to,
on in Scorn.
I'll give it to Horizon.
Wow. Over Elden Ring?
My heart is with Elden Ring.
I think this lock one, it in, first of all. That is wild. You're a wild man.
It is. It is wild.
In Horizon.
Yeah. It is wild.
Maybe it's because I just played Sonic Frontiers, which is also like another open world quote unquote game. But like I play in Sonic Frontiers and like other open world games recently, and I'm like, man, Elden Ring deserves every single flower. Because even the draw distance alone in that game, I'm like, y'all did the damn thing.
Well, I just think of the imagination again. The same reason why I voted Horizon for sound design is like these robot dinos look damn good every time.
Oh, man. You see those toad people with the big beady eyes? That'd be walking around in Elden Ring.
The ones that give you like the fucking curse or the black. Oh, that's so gross. Dude, my heart's with Elden Ring. Like,
and also the fucking hands.
Elden Ring has
with all the fingers.
The thing I love about
hated that hand.
I know I hated it so much, but it looked real good.
The thing I love about FromSoft games is that like they rarely have the graphical fidelity that you want, right? They never look like God of War. They never look like Horizon. But their art direction and their art team is so strong that they kind of make you forget that you're not playing the sharpest looking game ever. It's like they overcome so much of their technical limitations, which are largely due to themselves. But
remember when we did the Let's Play and I saw like the big door, big gate or whatever, and I was like, damn. It's a good looking
That's
door.
A good ass gate.
Yeah, like I've never seen a door look that good in a video game before.
My vote goes to Sifu.
I know.
I'm God, fucking
pour one out.
Yeah. It's upsetting, dude.
Next category. Best narrative. A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. There
God
it
of War,
is.
Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality.
Let's fucking go. Immortality getting its flowers. Don't lock that in for me. I'm just shouting out Immortality. It's gonna be
yeah,
God of War.
I look at this and I think it rushes to God of War versus
it's
Immortality.
God of War.
Shout out to Elden Ring being on here, though. I was not expecting that.
All that lore, you know?
A lot of lore in that video game.
God, this is
I tough. Think it's God of War. I think that any single person that played Immortality is going to fight as hard as they can to make it happen. I just don't think you can beat the sheer power that is Kratos.
Yeah.
And the story.
And
the
and
deservedly
the
amazing
story.
Narrative. Yeah. I'm locking in God of War.
If for my personal voting, I do struggle a little bit between Immortality and God of War Ragnarok, but I think at the end of the day, I'm going to predict God of War Ragnarok because, yeah, I think you have the big budget. You
but
have
if
the scope.
If you voted, what would you vote?
I don't know. I had to sit down and really
see,
think about
thing
it.
The thing is, I love Immortality. I'm glad to see it finally start popping up a bit more on the list, and it's like, I would still vote God of War, I think. Again, just like, what a fucking story. What a journey. Yeah. The twists, the turns, the character moments.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for God of War as well.
The God of War. There we go. Next category, Best Game Direction, awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray.
Oh,
this
man.
Is where I go Elden Ring.
This is where I go Elden Ring. They took an amazing formula and made it open world, and there were a lot of doubters, and how is that going to hurt the experience, and if anything, it made it so transformative. This is the... There's been no other game this year that I am like looking for every possible thing that I can do. Where like
let me tell you about Sonic Frontiers. this is where I realized that Stray is probably gonna be nominated for Game of the Year, isn't it? It's been in so many categories. Best game direction. You're putting
Stray. Will Horizon make it? I think, like I was telling you earlier, I don't think so.
For this category, I'm going to predict Immortality, actually.
I was going to say, Tim, what I need you to do is go into the kitchen and start working on a sauce. Because I'm cooking up a batch of upsetty spaghetti. And I'm saying Immortality is going to take it here, too.
Oh, wow.
I think it's also important to understand that, in my opinion, the fact that Disco Elysium won as much as it did in 2019... goes to show that it isn't always going to be the popular vote or the one that you think that is going to win the most.
Yeah.
But like Tim was saying for the last category, I think the sheer power of Elden Ring and what that did with the combination of open world design and Souls design, I think people are just going to
I just mean in terms of like in other categories as
for sure.
But I think when you're talking about, you know, outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design, obviously like a lot of these comparisons are apples to oranges. In no reality should I be comparing Elden Ring to Immortality in terms of game direction and game design. But I think when you're talking about what sticks out in terms of game direction and game design, Immortality out of all of these, I think sticks out to me, right? Elden Ring is an open world, and it's an open world on a different level, and it pushes the boundaries and all that stuff. But it is a game that we've seen before to some extent, right? God of War Ragnarok is more God of War. Horizon is more Horizon. You know, Stray is an open world adventure puzzle game. Immortality, yeah, we've seen this before with like Sam Barlow's other games, but I think Immortality does it in a different way and on another level that really pushes it, right? When you're talking about, hey, we're gonna create like multiple different films for this game that all have their own stories, all have their own scripts, and this entire game is going to be found footage, and it's going to be on you to figure out how to find the footage. to me, that was an experience that was unlike any other that I would say I've ever experienced in a video game. And to this day, I'm still like, how did you figure that out? Like, how did you make this game, right? The fact that it is keyword association, but the keyword are images on the screen, and it is, hey, click this person's face, click a cup, click a fucking, I don't know, click whatever you want to in this frame, and we're going to link it to another video in this database. The fact that they pulled it off in that it was as fun and
engaging
as it was, incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that, you know, when you talk about Sam Barlow and you talk about his games, it would be easy for them all to be the same, but each one has changed, right? Each one has evolved the concept and done something different with it. And I do think this is the most impressive one that they have done. And I think it's the most complete game and it's the best narrative they've done. And I think that all plays into the direction of taking, as you're saying, these three different films, right? Stitching them together in this completely what seems overwhelming, daunting, and incoherent way, right? But then actually having it become a story that I define and I discover as I go and make that work from multiple angles. Where that, like, you know, we did the spoiler cast where I can have one experience, Bless can have another, Reb can have another. We can all go through and get what we're getting out of the game. And at the end, get to the same, not conclusion, but this, we've all seen the same facts and we all have our own theory about it before Reb says, yeah, no, this, like, is exactly what happened.
Like, it, oh, right. It is the definition of, you know, choose how you want to play, right? The idea, like, when we talk about Elden Ring, is the fact that you come into this world and you can go whatever direction you want and experience it the way you want to do it. Immortality does that as well, too, right? Where it is the idea of player choice and it is, all right, where do I want to start off? All right, I'm going to start here and I'm going to go this entirely different route than what Greg or Reb did to, like, get to that final spot of, okay, this is what this story is. And it completely puts that in your hands, right? For a game that is an FMV game that we associate with narrative and we associate with performances and all that stuff, the gameplay in Immortality for me is actually what makes it, right? I was addicted to this game for multiple days when I was playing it. I could not stop until I actually completed it. And so I think I can see getting the nod here, right, for what we're talking about in terms of game direction and innovation and creative vision.
Next category, please.
The final category.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Game of the year.
Of the year.
Man, Straight was not that good.
Y'all loved it.
We need to sit down and talk about Straight.
It was not. Elden Ring. God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
No mention of Vampire Survivors throughout this whole thing.
Really shocking.
Wild, right?
I'm also kind of excited and happy for Plague Tale. I know Plague Tale has, like, such a rabid fan base, and we see it in our comments all the time. Play, you know, finish the damn game.
No, I
eventually will, because this was not on any of our nominations. I think it also just came a little bit later in the year.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
My heart is with Elden Ring, but I think it's going to be God of War Ragnarok. And that's also me kind of, like,
just bracing yourself, protecting your own heart.
Yeah, protecting
my heart. I'm going to lock in Elden Ring. I think it's going to be easy.
Lock in Andy, God of War. Lock in Bless, Elden Ring.
I think for me, it's 2018 a bit, right, where it was the reverse, obviously, with God of War 2018 coming out, surprising people and people going, oh, this is new, this is fantastic, this is innovative, we've never played anything like this before. And then Red Dead 2 coming out later in the year and kind of being the big opposition in that Game of the Year conversation. But I think Red Dead being more Red Dead and also being a, hey, this is a Rockstar-ass Rockstar game, I don't think that stood out as special compared to what God of War did in 2018. I think it's going to be the reverse here, where Elden Ring comes out and it's something that is, like God of War in 2018, innovative, fresh, new, captured our hearts, and also just fucking became popular, right? Everybody's playing Elden Ring. Whereas God of War Ragnarok, I think, what's going to
hinder it
in this category is that it's a known quantity, right? We've played God of War Ragnarok before in God of War 2018, and Ragnarok is bringing a different story, right? New and exciting stuff, new characters, and all the stuff that we absolutely love, but is it sticking in our brains, sticking in our heads in the way that Elden Ring, for so many people in the industry, is sticking in the brain, sticking in their heads, because it is pushing the boundaries in ways that I don't think any other game is doing this year.
Think of the sales numbers on Elden Ring. Like,
yeah, like, it outsold Call of Duty for that 12-month period. Like, a new IP, right? One of the best-selling new IPs in the last, like, what, however many years. I forget what the previous contender was before that. But, yeah, like, it has that mix of popularity. It has that effect of when you go back to February, March, right, you look on TikTok, and it is Elden Ring videos populating everywhere.
And
right?
I feel like there's been no other game that has won over as many doubters. When I think of the amount of people that I've seen on Twitter be like, you know what, I'm not feeling this, and then 2 days later go, god damn, like, this, it's all I can think about, and I was right there with them.
I went from what, like, being 20 hours in and being like, okay, no, this is dope, but I don't know if it's, like, the best game ever made, to then being 90 hours in and being like, this is one of the best games ever made. Like, there's few games that are better than this.
I'm predicting Elden Ring is going to take it for all the reasons you guys are saying. I do think that this is the closest year we have ever had in the game awards, between Ragnarok and Elden Ring, because I think that Ragnarok is not just more 2018. I feel like it is everything we loved about 2018, but then they also did everything right of, like, not going too crazy and changing it, but, like, just adding things that made sense for
more
what
enemies
made that game special. And I think that, like, it is as good as it could have been for what it was trying to do. I just think that Elden Ring does have that, like, culmination moment. So yeah, I'm going Elden Ring, but I think it's going to be really close, and I think that we're talking about a 51-49 in my mind. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think the, also the fact that a game like Sekiro, which is one of the toughest games in terms of accessibility and stuff, could win in 2019.
But also 2019 was a year of niche games, though, I would argue.
But still, like, it's for Sekiro, a niche game to like stand above the other titles, I think does that surprise me enough where like that is what puts me as the 51-49 is the Sekiro thing.
Yeah, and like you, to that Sekiro point, right? Like Elden Ring is basically super Sekiro. You know, it is the ideas of From Software taken and applied to this in a way that is more approachable, not necessarily for everybody, but approachable to way more people, that sold way more than Sekiro, that is on a mainstream level in a way that's way above that. Like you're talking about a super souped up version of a game that won Game of the Year in 2019 versus, again, God of War Ragnarok, which again is, I understand the 51-49 thing when you're talking about it there, because right now it is that same thing where I look on TikTok and it is all God of War Ragnarok videos, people reacting to the big moments, people reacting to the first hour and all these character turns and stuff, right? And like people talking about it being like, oh man, Game of the Year is here, right? Like it is a close race.
Yeah,
but I still got to give it to Elden Ring.
And the last thing for me is I think that just knowing like how this voting process works and all this, when it comes down to the conversations that are going to end up being had at all the outlets between these two games, let's just be honest, I feel like the people that are going to fight for Elden Ring are going to fight so much harder than the people that are going to fight for God of War Ragnarok.
For the same reason that Elden Ring was the most anticipated game, and everybody said, "What the fuck is Elden Ring? Like, how is Zelda not the nominee here?"
Greg Miller, comes down to you. We have Andy locked, God of War. Blessing locked, Elden Ring. Me locked, Elden Ring. Greg Miller.
The arguments have all been laid out, I think, appropriately and correctly. And that's what makes it so difficult. I think it is anybody's race between these two. And how does it shake out and where does it go? And recency bias and what you thought before and more of 2018 versus an open world Souls game versus da-da-da-da-da-da. I would vote God of War. For us, I will vote for God of War when it comes time for our Kind of Funny's Game of the Year. In this thing of predicting what other people are going to do, I do predict Elden Ring will win the Game Awards 2022. For all the reasons listed above, like, I don't think we need to go through them all again. But I mean, that's not to, you know, and you know, this is a personal preference of which amazing game do you like more, right? And I like God of War more, but I understand why people like Elden Ring. But more importantly, I understand the fact why God of War 2022 is a known quantity because of 2018. And I would argue, well, obviously the story beats the payoffs, the fidelity, the amazing things and that you see in this game and do in this game make it stand out more. But again, I think starting Elden Ring, there was that question of, are they going to deliver on this? Will this actually be amazing? You know, I mean, with God of War starting it, was there any real concern about that? No, I don't think so. I think you were, it was a harder hill to climb to surprise and rapture gamers, and I think Sony Santa Monica did it, but I think that Elden Ring was able to catch so many people off guard and do so many different things, and to the point that even if you're a gamer like me that it didn't connect with, you still know the love everybody else has for it and the stories you've heard from it and these things, and you're like, I get why that's incredible. And I think that comes back to your point, Tim, of in an argument, if you're going to go into an IGN, a GameSpot, a whoever's war room and have these conversations to vote this ballot, I do think the Elden Ring people will not let it go, whereas a God of War person would be like, hey, you're really passionate about this. You know that I love God of War and we all love 2018, so it's whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If we had like a debate-style Game of the Year sort of format as opposed to like the voting style, yeah, I would be one of those people that would be like, God of War Ragnarok is not winning this. Like, and I'm right there with you with in that argument of like in the IGN rooms, right, or in the GameSpot rooms where it is, all right, let's talk this out, let's figure it out. I think the Elden Ring people are going to fight hard. And I'll tell you right now, Corey Cutten, you can clip this. If Elden Ring doesn't win, the industry loses.
Wow.
In what way?
You did like the Bill Clinton Obama thing with the hand.
Malia.
The amount of times I've heard you fucking say that. Eric, can you bring up the nominees one more time here for the final thing? Because now that we've gave our predictions for who's going
to
win.
Now, Mitch McConnell doesn't want Elden Ring to win.
What's up?
I said
he's doing more Obama stuff. Elden Ring.
looking at the category, I mean, I'm pretty surprised by this, honestly, how it all shook out. Like, we knew, like, we had the conversation about, like, what might be there. I didn't expect Plague Tale. That definitely was one that I just wasn't thinking about. Xenoblade coming over Kirby, very surprised by. But people, the Xenoblade fans, they love 3. So good for them getting some representation here. Not going to win, but hey, the nomination's great. And then, yeah, Stray, another one that the popularity's there. I'm surprised, though.
It's a great game.
Feels very shocked.
It's, like, there's just a couple things here. Like, I'm surprised by.
I'm shocked by a Plague Tale Requiem.
Yeah, because
I've not seen the conversation on it online.
It's another one of the people games. Who love it, but I just don't. Yeah, they're vocal about it. You know, when they're out there. Yeah. But.
Very, very interesting. Any final thoughts overall on the Game Awards nominees?
I mean, you heard our complaints. You heard our cries.
All the cries are out there. All the complaints are out there. Come on,
go play Tinykin.
Y'all want to see Smart Direction play Sifu?
Dude,
y'all.
Sifu, bro. I can't believe it.
Remember, you can go to Amazon.com/Game Awards to discover and shop all the nominees of the Game Awards all in one place, as well as upcoming games for 2023. You can get the pre-orders in, all that stuff. Amazon.com/Game Awards. Thank you for helping sponsor all of our Game Awards content for the rest of the year. Let us know in the comments below what you think got snubbed. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
What's your Sifu? What's your Shredder's Revenge Final Boss music? You know what I'm talking about?
Where's Stranger Paradise Final Fantasy Origins?
Find me chaos, everybody. But yeah, let's know.
Where's
in the
Dying Light 2?
What your votes
are. You know where Dying Light 2 is.
For what's your game of the year pick? Who do you think's going to win? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Give us everything out there. Leave that in the comments below. We will return later with a whole bunch of really cool content all across the kind of funny network, world, universe, even. I don't know. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.